And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Tyra Fraser. And today on Shout Out, we're off to...
Rather, we should say they're coming to us. Yes, Dan and Rowena will be here live in the studio.
And the continuation of the trans.
This week, we asked the younger generation what the word means to them.
All coming today.
Right here on Shout Out.
I'm doing it every week now, I don't care.
You're being into it.
I am. Andy's dropped the gauntlet, so I'm picking it up.
Well done, you.
I've dropped the gauntlet.
Yeah, you have. You've stopped doing it now. I used to look forward to that, and then I'd be like, cue.
I've had to get a chance then.
Good timing, Laura. Good timing.
Did you notice
how slick that opening was as well?
It was a little too slick, though, wasn't it? It was a little bit like butter.
You just slid right off. You sounded professional.
I know, and that's just
I'll mess up
right.
Somewhere along the line. Don't worry about it. It'll happen.
Still got the ending to do.
Talking of Scottish people.
What about...
Tenuous link. Scotland have announced that they're going non-gender. You can declare neither female or male.
And so they've just...
Won up on Germany.
They've just done that whole apology as well for past convictions, haven't they?
Yeah.
Show us up, Scotland. Good on you. Come on, British government.
Well, yes. Germany announced that they were declaring a third gender, but Scotland have gone the full hog.
Little steps what we're getting there.
What we got here...
Nothing.
Male, is it still just male and female?
And that's it.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh. Yeah, we just got male and female. We're not there yet, but we will.
Because I was reading about it from a scientist, they reckon there's 15 genders in general.
15?
Oh, yeah. 15? Yeah.
There's a lot. There's not just
is
three.
Is it not just easy just to say it's a bit fluid for
it
us?
Is fluid.
Exactly.
That's what we're saying. It's their gender. Germany's doing well, but the fact is there's so much more. It's more complex than that. So it's like, it's not really identifying the fact that it's so much more complex and there's more than three genders.
Mm. I mean, what's wrong with our name? You know, we got past that point, you know, really.
I mean, I don't know.
Most of the world hasn't, unfortunately.
Mm. Yeah, it's definitely not.
We do actually forget how lucky we are in this country, although there's an awful long way to go. It can be a lot worse than a lot of other countries.
Definitely.
You know, they're still just fighting for some of the basic equality rights, even down to just whether you're male or female. You know?
Exactly. Female equality is the only one of the biggest things that they're looking for. Let alone LGBT plus being
AME. Is it Saudi Arabia that's only just about to let women drive?
It's insane. Yeah. It's absolutely insane. Yeah. But do you know what? At least we're going somewhere and it's forward.
But you've got to keep fighting. Yes. It's not over.
Look at the States.
Don't careful because you start Lara off. She gets madly passionate. It's lovely.
I'm actually keeping calm today. I was not going to go into it. I'm like, I'm staying calm. Someone I'm not going to comment. I'm just going to be like, let's be positive. I'm not going to be all cynical and stuff.
I'm the devil on your shoulders today.
There you are. I've got the other one. Steffi's my other one. Okay. Steffi's the angel.
She hasn't been called one of those in a long time.
Well, trust me, I'm in good mood today.
Is it just for Christmas?
Andy, don't be jealous just because you weren't called one.
Andy gets jealous.
Why would
anyway?
I want to be called an angel?
I don't know. Angels are sweet and lovely. And
you ask my husband, he'll tell you I'm anything but an angel.
Exactly.
Andy gets judged if he thinks anyone's coming between me and him.
Oh yes.
Only we're allowed to argue with each other, aren't we?
To be honest, I'll face up to Andy any time for you.
Oh, sweet.
I'm a sweet talker, what can I say?
My wings have just flown out.
anyway, put them away. Right, let's have some vent, shall we? So, it's not terrible twosome. It's Lara and Steph.
Yes.
Who's coming
Tara
first?
Tara is in the studio.
So, hello, Tara.
On the other side.
I'll go with the first. BAOS, but not just the...
BAOS.
BAOS, but not just that, but the youth the youth division.
Youth.
Yeah, BAOS, the Bristol Amateur and Operatic Society.
They
looking,
do call it BAOS, I hasten to say.
They do. They're looking for kids. So if you're aged between 10 and 18, Andy, put your hand down.
Well, and it totally rules you out.
Do you like performing? I can't even remember that far back. I think bombs were still dropping.
So at the moment, we got one. Yes, you do like performing. Go on, carry on.
Okay. If you answered the questions, the question to the age thing, then you they're looking for friendly and bubbly group. Welcome to new talent who have great fun on and off the stage. They're currently looking for new members to join us for a 2018 production of Little Shop of Horrors. Hey, do you remember
yes,
the movie?
Yes,
I love that movie.
I have actually played in the orchestra for Little Shop of Horrors.
So when is it?
Sorry. It'll be in 2018.
Yeah, but it's in 2018.
Oh, right.
Okay. But they're looking for people, but they're specifically very short of 10 to 18-year-olds. Now, if you are interested, get your pen out. It's membership at baosbristol.co.uk.
Oh, wow. Cool. That should be good.
Yeah.
I love a good theatre production.
Have you ever done that, Andrew?
I did 15 years of dance and theatre performance, actually. Thank you very much.
Well, so, were you in any shows that we know? Have you ever done anything like Little Shop Horrors?
Oh, God, no. it was just like a local school production thing. That was as good as I got.
It wasn't like High School Musical or something then.
No. I mean, come on, please. I've got more class than that.
Are you fit then? Did you have to do lots of exercise?
Yeah. I had to be flexible. Just saying.
Thanks for throwing that one in.
You have such a way with words.
I mean, I've been told by many of people.
More than one person's told you you're flexible.
Anyway. So, on the 6th of December, it's Christmas Bristol Femme Lesbian Singles Night. I've got a lot of mouthful.
6th of December. You're
December.
A whole month
oh, my God.
Ahead.
6th of December. Oh, God. Sorry. Thank you.
Gosh.
It's from 6:30 to 8:30 at Bar Humbug. And they want you to join the Pink Lobster Ladies for this Christmas season for the Bristol's one and only Femme Lesbian Singles Night. Meet and get to know some fantastic femme lesbians. Early bird tickets are £12 and later are £14.95. So I'm definitely going to be there and some of my friends. So definitely head down there.
I'm missing something here. Why femme lesbian is... Is it?
Femme
lesbian is like a lipstick lesbian. It's more complex than that.
So there's still butch lesbians.
Butch, stud, femme, stem, androgynous.
Stem.
There's lots.
What is that?
Stem's a stud, femme. There's a lot of. Well, lesbians and gay women and queer women are very complex, so we've got many identities. So femme is one of those, and if you identify as that, then head on down to the Bar Humbug on the 6th of December.
Fabulous. When we used to go clubbing, we used to go clubbing up to London. There was a club called Lipstick, which was for femme lesbians.
Yeah. And then the second one quickly is on the 22nd to the 24th of December at the Gym Palace, and it's Christmas Cabaret. Stay tuned for more information about that.
Cool. Thank you very much, both. Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
And that's at Pigeons. That's by a group called 100 in the Hands. So you like that one?
Yeah, well, you know, my music tastes getting a bit more varied rather than just rock music all the time.
No, you see, keep hanging around with Shout Out, that's why.
It's different.
So, yeah, no, that it's a bit of an old one, that one. I don't even think it was a like chart top or anything, but it was one that Carl, the other half, stumbled across. And the video for it's amazing. If you look up 100 in the Hands on YouTube and watch the video, it's really cool.
You have that generation where you watch video music?
Well, not always, but sometimes you end up sticking like one of them random YouTube playlist things on and stick it on TV during a party. It's great. Yeah. You know, these days you just go Echo, play some music, and it does. Anyway, and now talking of jobs, we are now actually, aren't we? So a very warm welcome back to the show to Dan Craig. Hello, mate. How are you?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you.
And Rowena's here as well. You're both from Bristol Zoo, but I believe you both do quite different things, don't you?
Yes.
Rowena, what's your job title officially?
So I am a staff zoo vet.
So I'm one of actually four vets we've got at the zoo now.
Oh, right, cool. And that last time I spoke to you, which admittedly was a while ago about the zoo, you were a zookeeper, I think. But I hear it's progressed a bit since then.
Yeah, it's changed a little bit since then. I started out on the presentations team, working with the trained animals and the fur seals. But I quickly learned that I'd rather talk about animals than pick up their mess. So I moved from presentations into education, and I've been there for about 4 years now, I think.
So it must be fascinating to work at the zoo, though. I mean, I'm guessing, did you always want to be a vet before you ended up at Bristol Zoo?
Yeah, I'm one of those people who wanted to be a vet since I was about eight.
Really?
Yeah. Then as I was at vet school, kind of as I was going through, I kind of realised how interested I was in exotic animals and wildlife. And yeah, just realised I'd rather work with lots of other things, just not just cats and dogs.
Is that a competitive market, vet school, as it is, I imagine?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Zoo is even more
harder.
Yeah,
that's right, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm always telling my students, if you want my job, you are going to have to kill me, so.
There's plenty of animals there to do the job for them, I suspect.
Oh, an industrial accident, oh dear.
Yeah.
Oops. But I'm guessing, I mean, because, of course, when you think vet, you usually think somewhere you take your dog or your cat or your rabbit. Working at a zoo, you must have to know so many more animals. I mean, is your day that varied from
yeah
one
it really
to work
is
in?
Yeah, one minute I could be like mending a snail shell, and the next minute I could be using
really?
A dart gun
that?
On a gorilla, and then yes. I could be treating a bird, I could be treating a frog. Yeah, it's really
so
varied.
What are the hardest ones to look after? I would imagine it's some of the bigger ones, like the giraffes or the like. Or
yeah, it tends to be a bit. Probably is some, well, it's difficult. It's different stuff, I suppose. So the big ones are things like gorillas and giraffes, that you're quite limited in what you can do without actually anaesthetising them. Mm. And quite often with that, you need to use a dart gun to anaesthetise them, unless they've been trained for hand injection, which we work on a lot. But yeah, and then there's other things. I mean, working on tiny little animals like frogs can be really challenging because they're tiny size. And so, yeah, it's very variable.
Is there any that are like venomous and the like, you have to be quite careful of?
We haven't got very many venomous animals in our zoo. We've got some Aruba Island rattlesnakes, which are venomous, and Gila monsters, which is a venomous lizard. But yeah, our zoo, we don't have that many. I went to a conference in the States recently, and I went to Dallas Zoo, and they literally, practically their entire reptile collection is venomous snakes. I couldn't believe
it. Lord.
So yeah.
No, that's American.
That's my favourite. So, and we'll talk about phobias in a bit, but you've moved into the educational side, you said. So is that kind of like when the kids come along on a school outing type of thing, or is it more?
Yeah, no, that's how I started. We have our school children come in, they've come for a school trip, and as part of that trip, they can have a hour-long session with the education team. We bring out some of our we've got quite an interesting collection of taxidermy and skulls and skins and things like that.
Oh, I bet the kids love that.
Oh, of course, absolutely. It can be quite shocking. I mean, if we have an art session, for example, we really do pull out everything and cover the floor. And I have to actually warn the students just before you go in there, you know, don't be, there's quite a lot of stuff around in there. We've got a polar bear, we've got a gorilla skin, we've got all sorts. Thankfully, it's a shame that they're there, because a lot of the stuff has been given to us from the guys at the airports, customs.
Right.
People go on holiday and they buy these strange, unusual things, but then they bring them back and then suddenly they're
not allowed in the country. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know the aquarium had a large eel.
Yeah.
Given to them that was in the same state. It wasn't allowed in the country.
Yeah.
But because it was here, they couldn't ship it back. So.
No, exactly. We've got animals in our collection that were wild caught, and they've actually, again, they arrive at Heathrow. Heathrow is not a zoo. They can't house the animals indefinitely, so they often will pass them on to zoos. So we have a snake, a royal python in our collection that was wild caught. So
but I presume it has to be something you can actually cater for, or have you had the odd one that's come in and you're like, oh, okay.
And do you have to...
We'll find room for that somehow, or do you talk to other zoos and see which ones can take?
No, absolutely. Some of the small stuff was quite interesting. I know that Mark Bushell, our head of inverts at the zoo, I'm going to get in trouble now, I can't remember his official job title. They love a job title at the zoo. I can't remember what his is. He's the curator of our bug world. They actually got, I'm probably going to get the species right, I think it was a type of species, a Scolopendra, which was the, was it just, can you remember that one? It was a big venomous centipede. About that long or so. About half of a ruler, I suppose. But
I was going to say, that doesn't work for me.
Holding my hands up in the air, that's
30 seconds. 30 centimetres. Yeah, give or so, a second about that. Yeah.
But a very, very dangerous bite. And they actually, but it was only easy to keep. They kept it in a little tank in one of their rooms. So that was easy to fit in.
So do you have to go through a quarantine process with that?
Yeah. So anything new coming in. Of,
yeah.
Anything new comes in, you're probably better to talk about Rowena than quarantine than I am. But yeah, anything new that comes in has to go through, is it 30 days?
Yeah, the standard is 30 days, but we have to put some animals through rabies quarantine. But it's not as kind of arduous as it used to be. And there's also... we can get round kind of keeping animals on their own in a box, as it were. We'd never do that. So, I mean, something like a gorilla coming in, rather than keeping it separate, which would be very psychologically damaging for them, we're allowed to kind of put them in coterminous quarantine with the rest of the group, as long as the whole group is then placed under rabies quarantine and the inspectors, a vet has to come out from DEFRA and just, or APHA now it is, but check it's fine. And then, yeah.
Right.
And you do the same thing with the zoo-to-zoo exchanges?
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, there's various levels of quarantine depending on what health check's been done before they come in and the levels of kind of healthcare, as it were, at the zoo it comes from and where they've come from. And yeah.
So that stops anything getting passed from zoo to zoo? Yeah. So you've got your own kind of environment?
Yeah, that's right. So there's a lot of paperwork kind of stuff to do with imports and exports that I do as well. That's quite a big part of our job as well.
Are there any animals either you are scared of? Or are you not allowed to be if you work for a zoo?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, must admit, we're told when we start education, because we're working with children, I mean, we've got an animal collection in the education centre, and we've got cockroaches and spiders and millipedes and reptiles and everything else. And we're always told as part of our training that we must not react negatively when the animals and the children are together, so to speak, because... the children are looking at us as the experts, so to speak. So if I have a spider and the spider runs up my arm, if I start shrieking, every child will remember the fact, oh my goodness, the zookeeper was scared of the spider.
Yeah.
So I've
had... That must be quite hard. Are you scared of spiders?
I'm not a huge fan of spiders. Oh. I will kind of... do as what I need to do with them.
I can't imagine anything more scary than having a giant tarantula on my hand.
I agree. It's not. I mean, I do it, and I'm happy to do it, but I'm happy not to do it as well.
They're not the most dangerous, are they?
No, well, they're not, but I'm just not a fan of spiders. I'm just like, Carl, please get rid of it now. I'm leaving the room, you know. So I don't squeal and run, honest, I promise. But I'm asking it because I believe you've got a course coming up on...
We do. We have our...
phobias, haven't you?
Our Living with Spiders course, and it's coming up... next week, I believe, or week after, and it's a chance where people can come into the zoo after hours for a few hours, and it's a hypnotherapy course. They get some hypnotherapy around dealing with phobias, dealing with fears of spiders, and at the end of the course we bring out some real spiders for them to meet. And it sounds
nothing venomous.
No. It sounds a bit crazy, you know, if you're scared of spiders, why are we bringing out live spiders? But actually we find every time we do this we have some very, very strong phobics joining us for these events. But by the end of the evening they're all catching house spiders under glasses quite confidently. That's why it's called Living with Spiders. We're not there to cure phobias. We're not there to make people suddenly not scared of spiders. We just want them the confidence to live with them so they can manage them, which is normally putting them under a glass and take them outside.
Yeah.
So it's a very, very popular course. And
it's quite a common phobia, isn't it?
Oh, completely. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So it really wasn't helped by the movie that came out in the 90s.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, my kids are scared of Daddy Long Legs.
Oh, are they?
It's crazy.
So,
you've got another place, haven't you? You've got Clifton, and then there's another one.
That's right. So we've got the Wild Place Project, which opened 4 years ago, which is out by Cribbs Causeway, and that's so that's our sister site. The zoo has actually owned that land for quite a long time, but it's used previously for kind of. We've got a good plant nursery out there that we use, and then it was used for off-show breeding. But now it's actually open to the public, and it's a really different feel to Bristol Zoo. It's like a big wide open space, but with also lots of natural woodland, ancient woodland out there. And we've got basically space to have bigger animals. So we've just recently got giraffes out there, we've got wolves, amazing. We've got cheetahs, we've got another lemur walkthrough, which is made to look more like it's actually in Madagascar with the theming, and we've got Gelada baboons, and we've got arrow carpi out there, which is one of my favourite species.
I won't lie, I have no idea what that is.
So I always tell people my favourite species are the ones that look like they're several different animals stuck together. So a carpi look like a cross between a giraffe, a zebra, a horse, maybe something else. But they're closely related to giraffes. They have like a giraffe head, but not the long neck. And then they're this gorgeous deep brown velvety colour and then with white stripes on their legs.
What are the most affectionate animals?
The tapirs are good, actually, that we've got at the zoo. Yeah. We've got Brazilian tapirs. They love to have a good scratch, a good rub down. They just lie down with their leg in the air like a dog.
I presume when you are a zookeeper or a vet, because you're in and out with the animals, they must end up bonding with you in a certain way.
Absolutely. Well, probably more with the Rowena than me.
Or not.
So, no,
I suppose it depends whether you're walking in with a syringe in your hand.
They don't like vets. You can tell it's a vet. I know my dogs do.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same as the animals, unfortunately. Yeah. I try, that's why I get involved with the training with the keepers, to try and get the animals used to us. But it's hard work, because a lot of time I am doing something they don't like very much. So, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
But it's for their own good.
It is for their own good, yeah.
So, and of course, every year you have the counts. That must take a long time to do. And I've got to, because they say you catalogue absolutely every single animal you have.
Yep.
You can't tell me you count every single ant and spider and the like, do you?
Oh, I'm sure they do. Every single one.
Every single
every single leaf cutter ant, every single snail, every single cichlid fish. Everything.
So, why do you know? I'm sorry, I'm putting you on the spot here, because I don't know if you know the answer or not. But why do they do the count?
It's actually more. To be honest, the registrars, we always have some idea how many animals. It's really just to make sure the census is. I suppose it's like doing a stock take in a shop. So we know how many animals we have roughly, but you know, every year the registrars just need to make sure that they are actually you know, everything. It's all accurate, basically. So because we keep records of obviously when there are births and deaths and animals going and coming. So it's not like, you know, we do know really how many animals we have. But it's just to make it more accurate, the count every year.
Cool. Now, I'm going to wrap it up because we're rapidly running out of time. But I know you've got some events coming up, haven't you?
Yeah, well, we're getting into the festive season very shortly. So the zoo's got a host of festive events going on. You can find out all about those on our website. And I believe at the moment, Wild Place, Rowena, I think knows a bit about this.
Wild Place, I think for winter, there's a special offer online. I think it's half price to get in over winter. So the adults are something like only £4 to get in, and there's a few Christmas things going on there as well. I think they've got Santa's yurt or something.
Some reindeers.
You have my cribs as well. Cribs always does a lot for cribs. So you could do the two. Ice skating. I don't know, they're doing ice skating again this year.
Yeah, they are.
It's always really popular, isn't it?
73.
Go see the animals. So that'll give you something to do with the kids, Tara.
Yeah, yeah. All my kids love animals. We always go to Edinburgh Zoo every time we pass through.
Oh, lovely.
As well, yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, they just love it. Yeah.
Anyway, listen, thank you so much to both of you for coming in. Website, bristolzoo.co.uk. Or is it
.org.uk.
Yeah, .org.uk. Cool. We'll do what we usually do. We'll make sure we put the link up on our website when the show goes up as a podcast later. So, thank you so much. And do come back and talk to us again. I find it fascinating. It's great, isn't it?
Especially with those newborns as well.
Yeah. Anyway, stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We're back in a minute.
The Shout Out podcast.
Oh, I do love that one. I haven't played that in ages. It's the dancey version of it, too.
Yeah, I can recognize
That's
that.
Marvin Gaye by Charlie Puth. So, hello, boys.
Hello, good evening.
Hello.
How are you both?
I'm great. Nothing to do with Marvin Gaye, of course. That song, is it really?
No, it's just about
Marvin Gaye. Fantastic.
Marvin Gaye,
fantastic,
and Get It On.
Soul singer.
Exactly.
So, I think it's a bit of a play on words, isn't it? Marvin Gaye and Get It On.
I don't know what you mean.
I don't know what Get It On means. Is there some kind of... There's some kind of double entendre.
That's Marvin Gaye and Get It On. It means kind of get your swagger on and go out and party.
Of course.
It?
Swagger.
Yeah.
Swagger.
Swagger. Yeah. It's a Showtime type thing, isn't it?
Well, maybe.
Is it big in the hit parade?
Oh, don't start lagging.
Top of the Pops.
Top of the Pops, yes. Yes. Available on vinyl, don't you know, and CD. Yeah, don't mention that in front of Lara. She'll get ever so confused.
Or 8 tracks.
Just have a CD, isn't she?
8-track, yeah. So, anyway, should we get some news headlines?
This is Shoutout News on Thursday the 9th of November.
We know that LGBT people are more likely than heterosexual or cisgendered people to take an interest in animal welfare and issues such as wildlife and the environment. So, it's with great pleasure that we can tell you that the RSPCA and PDSA-run Bristol Dogs and Cats Home in St Phillips will be opening its doors for its annual Christmas fair on Sunday the 19th of November. Santa will be present, and there are presents for families, adults and animals. males alike. Doors open at 10 a.m. and the event runs until 3 p.m. For more information, do a web search for RSPCA Bristol.
Britain is an increasingly secular country, says the monthly leftist magazine Workers, the journal of the CPBML, a small splinter faction from the Communist Party. The magazine notes that just 6% of 18 to 25-year-olds describe themselves as practicing Christians. Against this background, many religious groups, however, still exert an influence over education and policy making. The CPBML says that all religious privilege should be liquidated and that superstitions and religions actively challenged by the rational state.
And good evening to our loyal listeners on Glastonbury FM, heard through the Somerset Levels area on 107.1 FM. The town is a unique place, boasting a wide variety of shops of interest to people seeking political, physical and spiritual enlightenment. And it gives us the first opportunity this year to mention Christmas. The Great Glastonbury LGBT Festive Party takes place on Friday the 15th of December from 7 p.m. Location is the Constitutional Club at Number 50 High Street. Sadly, though, this venue is not disabled accessible. For more information, do a web search for LGBTQ Glastonbury.
Rosalind Robertson writes in the latest issue of the Trotskyist newspaper, Solidarity and Workers' Liberty, on continued proposals for transgender law reform. Robertson acknowledges that there are some anxieties amongst radical lesbian feminists about the implications of self-designation for gender identity, but she comes down firmly on the side of trans and non-binary people to speak for themselves. She concludes her article by warning against anti-trans sentiment coming from parts of the wider trades union, labour and feminist movements, and urges people on both sides of the debate to recognise that the enemies of LGBT people and feminists actually come from the right-wing and religious fundamentalism.
The body liberation movement has close associations with the LGBTI movement, and that's for individual liberty. So it's with interest that a correspondent was taken to task in this week's issue of the liberal paper The Observer for advocating that overweight people or smokers should be denied care on the NHS. David Bradnack was told in no uncertain terms that we might as well stop treating people who cross the road, go diving or do sports. Indeed, take on any one of a million risky strategies every day. Mr. Bradnack was described as a judgmental bore.
Commercial radio broadcaster Heart FM, which in the Greater Bristol area is heard on 96.3 FM, dedicated last Friday to the out gay singer Sam Smith. Their programmes throughout the working day included tracks from Sam's back catalogue and his new album. It's a rare honour for a singer to be celebrated in this way, as Heart is highly formatted and usually only has special days at times of the year like Christmas.
Now, if you enjoy musicals and the tunes that inspire them, then we, of course, recommend Showtime, which goes out on Bristol's BCFM and Pirate Nation Radio. Down in Brighton, a similar type of programme has now started. Hosted by acclaimed drag DJ Spice, the Stage Door programme will air on Radio Reverb on 97.2 FM on Thursdays at 4 p.m. Unlike Showtime, however, it will concentrate on the drag, cabaret and musical scene in the city of Brighton itself. Brighton has a lively LGBT radio scene. In addition to several LGBT radio programmes on Radio Reverb, there's a lively campy breakfast show on commercial channel Juice FM, and as well, the broadcaster regulator Ofcom have recently awarded the national gay station Gaydio permission to set up an FM relay signal in Brighton and Hove.
And finally, with World AIDS Day coming up on the 1st of December, the top gay men's fetish site Recon, which serves around 150,000 and rubber, leather and PVC men from around the globe, is inviting its members to add a virtual red ribbon to their profiles to show solidarity and support for people affected by HIV. The London-based website plans to donate £2,500 to the National AIDS Trust, and it invites its members to donate as well.
For these news stories and more from the LGBT universe, check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Ivan Jackson.
Shoutout News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
You're 2 weeks too late. We mentioned Christmas already. Sorry. And as for that Showtime, it's got really dodgy.
Oh.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Oh, does that one need any kind of, like, you know, prompting? Oh, well, yeah. You say it was 1989, wasn't it? It was a big hit.
Yeah, it was still a big hit.
Right on time by Black Box.
That'll never die, that
so,
one.
No, well, Terry was saying, though, they never made any money out of it because they sampled it illegally.
What, really?
So, yeah, so all the money that was made from the record actually had to go to the person they'd sampled because they weren't supposed
so
to have
annoying.
Done it. So.
You'll have to explain to Laura what a record is now.
I know what a record is. I've got Chaka Khan, I'm Every Woman on the record, thank
really?
You very
really?
Much.
Really? Yeah. What's an MP3? Precisely. So, anyway, hello. How are you?
Too.
So, and a very warm welcome to Cole as well.
Hi. Nice
hello,
to meet
mate. Very nice of you to join. Now, we're carrying on from a conversation we were having last week, and I'm a little bit confused because you were saying the word transgender, not trans.
Trans to me is just a precursor term that goes before the words like transport and trans-Siberian. So it's transgender.
But that's not quite the context we're talking about here,
no,
are we? We're
so
on about umbrella
you like.
Terms.
You just asked me a question, and I answered it truthfully and from my heart, Andrew.
But you're quite old, so we was trying to get the younger version of what we
which
think.
Is why we've dragged the younger people in.
Yeah.
Cole, what is the word to you?
Well, for me, I'd say it's more of kind of an like an umbrella term. You know,
now, trans or transgender are we talking here?
I'd say transgender more than
you
anything.
You think that's an umbrella term?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, just the kind of, you know, the way that social media kind of portrays that word. It like, you know, you see pictures on, for example, Instagram, that sort of thing, and it's transgender is, it, you know, there's several different things listed underneath it, not just trans woman, you know.
Right.
But, you know, because obviously there's non-binary, gender fluid, there's so many different ones as well.
But there's would you include cross-dressers and transvestites in that? Because where do they fit?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good question. I couldn't say, to be fair. I mean, you know, it's about how you self-identify, you know, if you... you know,
but do you think the media use it to cover them as well?
I'd imagine they would, probably, yeah. But, you know, that's... Whether or not that's correct is a whole different thing. I mean, I think the media, like, you know, society and the media do make assumptions when it comes to stuff that's kind of outside of the norm, I'd say. So,
see, because I do remember things like, you know, when being gay became more normal, you would still get things like the press would say, he is a gay. It's like, well, the hell does that mean? Who the hell says that?
Or,
you know, just say he is gay.
And stuff like that,
You know, so, but is it just
like being hit with a mallet, isn't it? Transgendered.
That ED doesn't belong on the end. Transgendered.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, ED on it. It just really is offensive.
Is it just where society's catching up?
Yeah, I think so. Do you not think?
I mean, I feel like in a lot of movements, transgender people were left kind of behind. So it's now becoming, people feel like it's like a new thing, like terminology is all new, but it's always been there. It's just people haven't really like brought it forward, if you know what I mean.
That's the same with a lot of the whole LGBT thing.
Oh,
you know,
course,
I mean,
yeah.
If you look back through history, gay and lesbian stuff, it's been wiped out because it was so wrong that even if someone wrote it in the history book, someone went and corrected it and went, no, it was actually like this and it was a straight person. I mean, we had Ella on the show talking about William Shakespeare being bisexual. Now that was totally left out of history for you know, decades and decades and decades. So.
But even like Whitney Houston, she was bisexual and that's been left out of history. There's so many things. There were so many transgender women and men in ancient history, but that's been seemingly left out conveniently since the Romans come. So like, like Ella has taught us before, like it's not just a new thing that people, it's a new term coined. Like, I don't know, Cole, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, I think, like trans people, they have been about, and they have been, like you said, erased out of history. You know, there's plenty of, you know, to be fair, actually, just recently today, actually, there's about 3 different trans people just been like elected in America. I
know, which is great, isn't it? I did love the fact that one of them pushed a very backward thinking guy out that was trying to pass
the trans toilet bill,
whatever it was. It did make me laugh a lot. It's like, well, that worked well for you, mate, didn't it?
Exactly.
She was asked about him and she said, he's now one of my, you know.
One of my.
Oh, what do you call them?
Aides?
You know, he's in my constituency now, so it's like he is just, you know. She wasn't, and there was no
constituent.
Nastiness. Yeah, she was. There was no nastiness.
I don't think they call them constituents in America.
But there was no nastiness.
On the wrong bit, Andy.
Yeah,
there was no nastiness in her kind of response. She rose above it, and I thought
that's
just fantastic.
Really good, though, isn't it?
There was no nastiness, unlike the other week.
But going back to what people call the so-called the lovely boxing that we love to do. Let's put everyone in a box and give it all a label, you know. Getting it right and getting it wrong, is it just where society is taking time to catch up and learn, where it's been so hidden and not known about for ages because of the previous bigotry that's been there? Is that true to say?
I mean, so how do you mean? Sorry, what's your question?
Well, if someone is trying who hasn't heard of terms like, I mean, most people now have heard of gay and lesbian and bisexual,
yeah,
but we still got ones like gender fluidity and and stuff, and trans and all that umbrella as well is another one, right, where there are tons and tons of different boxes and labels that are put on, and if you're not, you don't know anyone who's trans, and you don't know the correct stuff, you're going to get things wrong while you're learning.
Yeah, of course.
So is it right to be picking faults in them, getting it right and wrong while they're learning, or should we just be helping them trying to learn and learn more about it because they're trying to be more accepting, whether it's the press or not?
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, from my sort of personal experience, if anyone were to be interested in kind of, just in the trans journey and just things about just being transgender in general, you know, I find that a lot of people don't know quite a lot about it, and there are trans people that, you know, kind of have a chip on their shoulder and say, no, you can't say that, you can't say this, and then the person that's interested, they're then thinking, you know, they've got to tread on eggshells because they're going to offend somebody, and actually they're just interested and they just don't know, and it's like,
but they don't learn if you don't,
exactly, so that's why I like to, you know, just help people understand. And
a lot of transgender people like that who attack
straight away as a
form of defense.
But isn't it how you ask, though? Because I don't believe that every transgender person is like that, not for a reason. Like, they've obviously been asked in a way that has elicited that response. So I don't know. I think it's
make the continuing to give that response okay?
I mean, it's just a defense mechanism. Yeah. The same way as if someone asks me about my hair and about my race and things like that, I wouldn't, like, sometimes I get defensive because I don't want to be asked that, like, the 100th time. Like, it's not always their fault. I mean,
but if someone's asking you in a genuine nice way and they get something wrong in the terminology and it comes across as offensive, is the right thing to do to actually explode at them back and have a go just because you've heard that 100 times and you're fed up with
that? No, but then it depends on your mood. Like, you're allowed to explode if you want to. Like, it's I think it's not a you shouldn't do it, but I feel like someone that has done it, it's, I wouldn't, like, look down on them and be like, oh, you shouldn't do that, because I get it.
Part of human nature, isn't it? We all get tired sometimes, and
exactly, a transgender person's no less,
quite
no
often
different.
Past death's bedtime, yeah.
No, of course.
But, you know, we're all right to be grumpy.
Yeah, and anyway, well, it's an interesting topic. We're sorry, Steph, we're rapidly running out of time. I have to do something to get a chip in there, don't I? So, very quickly though, it's a T-Door coming up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do we know when? What's the date?
November 20th.
Cool. So not long. What are we now? We're in the 9th. So 11 days time.
Yeah.
So are you doing anything for it?
I'm actually not going to be in Bristol, but I think I'm going to see if I can sort of, because I'm actually going to be in Brighton.
Day, is it just UK or is it global?
I'm pretty certain it's international, actually.
It is international, and Bristol's having its event on the 24th of November at the Ansys Rooms at the University of Bristol. I can't remember the time exactly.
It is indeed. I don't know.
I think it's up on our website.
Yeah, it's up on our website. But yeah, the University of Bristol is definitely hot on that. But yeah, no, when were you doing Brighton?
Well, it's actually my birthday, so I'm going to be just sort of there, kind of partying away. But I will.
Is it a special one?
24, so.
And that's the start of the whole Trans Pride weekend as well. So there's a Saturday and Sunday in Bristol, and we'll be doing a bit more about that over the next coming weeks about what's going on.
Are we having a couple from the organisers?
We're going to try and get them in.
Okay.
Marvellous. Cool. Well, listen, it's been lovely to meet you. I'm sorry it's a little bit short, but it's a great topic, and I'm sure it's one we will come back to. So, for now, here we go. Here comes another judgment from Lara. I feel it coming on. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shoutout Podcast.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
Oh, dear.
Okay, give us a roar, Andy. A lion's roar.
No.
Oh, please don't.
No, look, my voice has just got better. I mean, if you'd asked me to do that a few weeks ago, it'd have been roar.
There you go.
That was cute.
That's only one lion.
Well, that's in light of, like, the Kenyan... was it president or, like...
Well, the two lions. Yeah, the two lions, male like, lions copulating. Having sex. And
copulating, yes.
No, he actually... More about dominance. He was a politician... Well, he is a politician in Kenya, and he said did he use the word sodomites?
Yeah, I don't know. They like they had the devil something it, within in them, yeah. And or it was all the people visiting the zoo that put the like a thing in them that made them want to like have sex.
Yeah,
I don't know what that happened.
Nothing to do with domination or anything, you know, putting another lion in its place, really. I mean, that's all it is.
I don't think it was that. I think it was like, apparently it was very affectionate.
Oh, you read that item as well. The other way. Yeah, it was affectionate.
I was like, yeah, I want to get on this.
You know when the male and the female get it? There's a lot of growling. The female usually turns and goes for the male.
Yeah.
This isn't like that. These two males cuddle up and snuggle.
I know. So they were exhibiting gay behaviour, which...
We're very affectionate, us gays, you know.
Aww.
Lions
some,
are not.
Some.
Mm-hmm.
Some. Yeah, cool. Yeah. Some roar like you. Yeah, no.
You got such a way with words. You really have.
I mean, some people have said that. So, yeah, a lot of people have said that. But
we were talking about what she talks about in the green room, weren't we?
I mean, we were saying I choose my words selectively. I'm a woman of... few words, basically.
No, that's certainly not true at all.
I mean, I don't know what you guys think.
Okay, mind your nose, Pinocchio, on the mic.
Well, yeah, I like to talk, but I say very poignant
just
things.
Just like?
Pardon?
Just like?
Just like?
Just like? I think just it's a bit like. More than just like to talk. You yeah. Love to talk.
Yeah, I like to sound my
almost
own
voice. As much as you like to party, I'd say.
You know what? I've calmed down. Actually, the glitter has come off.
Oh, right. Did you do Study anything time. For Halloween in the end? Did you?
Of course, I did something for Halloween. I've got absolutely mashed.
Oh,
up
I
Halloween.
Saw it. I saw the Facebook thing.
Yeah. No, I had
that
like
that was
I
impressive.
Was like,
did you do that yourself?
Yeah, I did.
So like, have you started doing your plans for New Year yet? Do you know what you do for New Year's Eve?
I don't. I'm not a Christmas or New Year's person.
Oh, come on! New Year's Eve is the biggest party ever.
Yeah,
your Christmas. And New- no, I don't. I do not like Christmas.
Do you know what you're doing? Presenter.
Do you know what you're doing for New Year's Eve?
Not yet.
5 hours.
I don't know. I mean,
is it
every year
partying
kind of...
though.
Sorry,
it's going to involve partying.
Oh yeah,
though,
of course. Yeah,
you just I've never had a quiet one. Party, before. You know.
Well, I still party, and I'm like 39.
You're not that you're old, not Andy.
I've got like about 30 people coming to our house on New Year's Eve.
31 now.
I don't remember our invite. Like, I didn't get one. Like,
why would you want to hang around with us old fogies? You keep telling me that you know you can out party me.
Of course,
now you're
I
saying,
can.
Oh no, but I don't do New Year's Eve.
I don't know. It's just it's all a farce, really. It's just a day difference. Like, I don't really.
But it's a new
it's
beginning.
An excuse.
Nice and one, all these
Cole.
People
yes,
like,
exactly. New beginning.
No.
Anyway, that is it for this week. But as always, let us know your thoughts.
Don't go. Do get in touch. Head to Shoutout Radio LGBT, where you can find all about the info.
All the info about us.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, I told you I had to get something wrong today.
So, anyway, next week we're off to Barbados. So, woo-hoo! But from myself and the team and from Cole, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Shout out. LGBT radio for you.